Greetings in the name of our Lord, our Redeemer, the one who carries us through life, gives us hope of eternity. I want to kind of continue somewhat on the same thought that Alan had, somewhat different place. Some things that are the same as what we had looked at in Sunday school. Same thought, different place. But we're looking at old things. We're going to look at something that was written 2,000 years ago, just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. That's something we talked about in Sunday school. So we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. Read this a couple weeks ago, and I was very inspired by it. Read it again, and I wasn't inspired. Now, how do you do with that? Read it again, and then I was starting to see what was there again. And I was inspired. Hope you get inspired as well. Peter is the writer. We know Peter when he was living with Jesus and walking with him and listening to his teachings and doing things that none of the other disciples did, like walking on the water and a number of things that he was interested in doing that the others probably never even thought about doing. Peter is the one that said, I don't know him. I don't know this man. I don't know Jesus. Kirsten swore, as I understand the scriptures, and said, I don't know him. But Jesus told him, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He wasn't converted. He wasn't a new man. Jesus was still there. He hadn't died. He hadn't rose again. He hadn't descended into heaven. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given. But when the Holy Spirit was given, Peter was right there. And it was a changed person. And so he's a writer of the first of these two books, Peter and 1st and 2nd Peter. Just going to look at this first chapter this morning. And we're going to take it a verse at a time and just analyze some of it a little bit. We can't do much, but try to inspire you to think about it and study it. It's been a very interesting, inspiring study for me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he was one of the 12. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the most important as far as he was concerned. He was one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And he's writing to strangers, people he didn't know apparently. And I think this to strangers meant that most of them were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. They weren't of their people. They were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Northern end of Turkey today is where this letter was written for, as well as for us. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is for us today. Verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now there's a lot in this verse that we're not going to take enough time to really dig this out. I mean, this could be a sermon in itself, this verse. The foreknowledge of God is that God knew everything from before the foundation of the world. He knew all that was going to take place. He knew us. He knew us very intimately 6,000 years ago and more. Kind of wakes us up a little, doesn't it? God knew us. And elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, through that avenue of being sanctified, cleansed, taken away from sin, or sin taking it away from us, of the spirit of obedience. Obedience. We talked a little bit in the Sunday school class this morning about obedience, obeying the standards, obeying things that we don't understand. Is it hypocrisy? Some people think so. But no, it isn't. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That baptism in Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace multiplied. Do we have that peace? Do we have peace in our hearts? Do we have peace with what we're doing, where we're at, what God is doing with us? Is there peace there? It's possible. We can have. We should have. We must have if we're going to get to heaven. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A couple things I noticed in this verse that inspired me, that abundant mercy. When we think of something in abundance, what do we think of? We think of food in abundance. There's an abundance of it. There's probably more than what we need, more than what we can use. That's the way it is with the mercy of God. It's more than we need, more than we can possibly use, is available for us. We just step into it and accept it. Lively hope. A living hope. It's not a hope that we hope to go to Spokane tomorrow. We hope to we have the strength or whatever to do something else. No, it is a hope that is steadfast and sure. It is built on this book and this book alone. By the resurrection of Jesus, when he rose from that grave, it made a change in the world that has never been reversed. It cannot be reversed. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I was talking with a neighbor yesterday. And he said, I think I've got everything set up so that all the children, they had three children, knows what's theirs. He said, I think I do. Well, this inheritance is positive. It is more steadfast. It is more sure than that. God knows that he has that inheritance established properly. We will get, when we leave this life, exactly what God provided for us. Whether it is heaven or hell, it is there. God's inheritance is incorruptible. It'll never pass away. It will never be changed. It will never be outdated. And it's undefined. It fadeth not away. It won't just, like an old car, just kind of one day it runs, and the next day it kind of runs, and the next day, well, maybe I hope it'll start, and you know, that just fades away. No, this inheritance will not fade away. It will not disappear. And it's reserved in heaven for us. Sometimes you go into a parking lot and you'll see a sign that says reserved for, and there might be a name there, or they went going into the parking lot down at Sacred Heart Hospital and the parking garage, and there's a level that's reserved for doctors. I can't go in there and park there. It's reserved for them. God's got a place in heaven reserved for every one of his saints. How's that? It's reserved. We get there, and right there, it's reserved. And has been for all time. Verse 5. It's reserved for those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It doesn't really make any difference how I believe. It's what God believes. It's what God is putting in our hearts. It can change us. And we don't have to listen to him. He gave us a free choice, free will. We don't have to listen to him, but the results are there. Are we kept by the power of God today? Do I have my life put in his hands so that he can do with me what he desires to do with me? That will be revealed in the last days. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, though manifold temptations. And we rejoice in those manifold temptations. Is there any good that come out of a temptation? Yes, we're strengthened by those things. Either that or we lose strength. They're heavy. They're hard. They're difficult. They're things that we don't desire to go through again. But yet, when we're through it, we can say it's been good for us. It's been a strengthening effect in our lives. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more, what? Precious? Did I read that right? Is that the word that's there? A trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Many a person has lost everything they had trying to get rich on gold. But the trial of our faith takes us a step higher when we are victorious. It's more precious than gold that perisheth. It's going to all burn up. Even though it's been tried by fire, it's going to be burned up. It's going to melt with fervent heat. It might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. When he comes, what are we desiring? Do we desire to meet him? Do we desire to see him come in the clouds? Do we desire, are we living so that will be an honorable thing? Tried in the fire and be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Many people say they're not ready. They don't want him to come back. One man hanging on to the back of his chair, he says, I'll never be ready. I suppose he's still going to church every Sunday, every morning, making confession for the things that he did wrong, the sins that he committed that he knew were sins. And he knew when we were talking right up here in Northport that he would never be ready for the return of Christ. He had no hope of eternal life. And he was gripping the back of that chair pretty hard when he said it. Whom having not seen, ye love. We haven't seen Jesus, but we love him because he gave his life for us. It put us in a new position as we accepted him and are walking with him. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you ever had a time in your life when it was so joyful that you didn't have words to explain it? That's when it will be like. We see him, we won't have anything to say. There are no words that can describe him coming in all his glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith. It's coming. The day is coming when we will experience that. I have written in here that this is death's door. At death's door, what is our impression? What is our desire? Ruth Hertzler was with her mother when she passed away. And she came back with rejoicing. She said, just before she left, she looked off someplace and she hadn't opened her eyes in days. And a smile on her face. What did she see? I don't know. My father said he saw angels when his heart was beating about one time every five or six or seven times that it should have been. But what are we going to see? What are we going to see when we take our, just before we take our last breath? Verse 10, through 12. Group these three all together. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and of what manner of time and spirit of Christ, which it was in them, did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, and with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Just one example of the prophet's teaching. Isaiah, in chapter 53, it reads as if it was past tense. Isaiah was living, 400 and plus years, 500 years before it happened. Before that time, nothing just happens. But he saw something, and he gave it to us. We profit by it. I think it was a big question. What does this mean? He couldn't understand it. It says it right here. He couldn't understand it. What it's all about. But we can. We look back and we read that chapter and we marvel at the promises of God as he went through there and detailed some of the things that were going to take place in Jesus' death for us. What a blessing. But unto us they did minister. Unto you, by them they have preached. Sent you the Holy Ghost. That's the prophets that didn't understand what was going on. I think they knew it apart. God had given them enough that they knew some things that was going to be taking place. They always looked forward to the Messiah. They tell me that Jewish women, when they would get married, they would long for a baby boy because maybe he would be the Messiah. Well, let's go on. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins and your minds, and be sober and hope unto the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. This is a very serious verse for all of us. It is very serious for you young people to gird up your minds. Be serious about life. That isn't a thing that is popular today. Don't worry about it. Time is just fleeting by, and live it up. Feels good, do it. And on and on. Gird up the loins of your mind. Pack your mind full of make this be your purpose in life, to know what the Bible teaches. Be sober. Not everything's a big joke. Yeah, I don't think it's wrong to say it, to laugh once in a while. I think it's good for us. Laughter is a medicine of the soul. But be sober. Think seriously about life. Hope unto the end. That's for all of us. Hope unto the end. There is an end to all things except heaven and hell. There is an end of everything that we know on this earth. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to be burned up. What do we have then? Us parents may work night and day about to try to lay up a bunch of money and a bunch of businesses and a bunch of this and that for our children. I'm doing this for my children. One man said, I'm doing this for my grandchildren. Well, I guess so. That's fine. They may get it, they may not. You see some of those pictures in Ukraine of those apartment buildings just blown apart. Just a framework left, maybe. And that's not even usable. Just a moment of that bomb landing either on it or close by. Gird up your minds and be sober. Hope unto the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he comes again, when he is revealed to us, dead or alive, we will see him. Saint or sinner, we will see him in the clouds, in the air. Some of you, I think I've heard this story that I gave years ago. I was driving down Highway Interstate 5 in Oregon. It was a cloudy, heavy clouds just hanging low. It wasn't raining, but it could have burst out any time. And all of a sudden, just like that, the sun was shining bright. First impulse that came in my mind was Jesus coming again. But it was gone about that fast. It was very disappointing for that to get cloudy again. Just a little spot where the sun shined through. And traveling, I hit that spot. Experience I'll never forget. Someday that's the way it's going to be. Jesus is going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump, and the trumpet shall sound. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, not paying attention to the things of the world, not centering your life around those kind of things. I don't know what life was like then. I don't know what they were doing. But it wasn't something that we need to be doing today. Obedient children, obedient to this. This is our guide. This is our hope for all of life and for heaven. We find it right here. We all have it in our hands or laying on the bench beside you. It's all right here. We probably have 60 or more Bibles. Oh, some people would like to have one. How many do we have in our homes? I have 5 or 6 in my office. Some of them are old. I just can't get myself to throw them away. My wife says, why do you keep them? You don't use them. They're tattered. one I use for my devotions is falling apart and taped together. But I just love it. And so, but it's the answer to every question that we can have. We just need to learn it. Our former lusts in our ignorance. Things that we desired. Things that we desire outside of Christ in life. He's telling us to do away with it. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is godliness. Holiness is walking with God, letting Him govern our lives. He wants to do it. Let Him. 17, and if you call on the Father, who out of respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We will be judged by what we do. Our destiny will be sealed by what we do. Not what we think. Not what other people think. But what we do. Verse 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Here's the man that when Jesus gave his life, he said, I don't know him. He's saying this. What a blessing that we have of studying and understanding the Word and allowing the Spirit to guide us through everything in life. The precious blood of Jesus. It was so precious that God sent him to this world to redeem mankind. Who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God decided back then, before he created this world, to send Jesus. He knew that man would rebel against him. He knew that man would take his own way. He knew that he would listen to Satan. And so he made a way so that we can have righteousness and have peace and have joy in our hearts through the blood of Christ. Who was verily ordained before the foundation of the world. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God raised up Jesus. God raised up Jesus from the dead so that we would have hope, so that we could have life. 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That is a command. See that you do it, he says. He's telling those people up there in northern Turkey, see that you do this. It is very important. It must be. And he's telling us today, it must be. 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We were born of corruptible seed, every one of us. My parents have been dead for many years. 70 and 72 was their years. Many others of you have parents or one or two, both are gone on to eternity. That's a corruptible seed. But he said we need to be born again of incorruptible seed. And the incorruptible seed is the blood of Jesus Christ. Cannot die. Will not die. He's always there for us. He liveth and abideth forever. All eternity. Forever. No end. We can have that privilege of being with him forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, thereof falleth away. That's our life. We'll be here for a time. We're here now. We're alive. We're active. We're doing things. But there's going to come a day when this body will be laid in a tomb, in a casket right up here. No more life. We can tap on them, no response. We can yell at them, no response. No way of responding. The spirit is gone. The body is put in the ground. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This is what we teach. This is why we teach over and over again. We say these things so that our young people will hear them, so that we know the way of eternal life. It's important. It's serious that we walk with God, because Jesus is going to come again. We're going to stand before him and he's going to say, go this way or go this way. And we know heaven is this way and hell is that way. Which way are we going? What is our thought life like? Are we bitter? How do we feel? Shall we pray?